Speak your mind. 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus.
All right, enough of that. I could do it more. 306. If this is a block party song, and I've been getting ready for the... I'm on, like, zero sleep. Because I was waiting around all day for a dunk tank to get delivered to my neighborhood. Because I'm, for some reason, I volunteered to run the block party like an idiot. And now I'm busy all day, as I will be filling in for Tiki today with Evan. So I'll be here just, you know, hanging out, bothering everybody. Getting a chance to actually be around, see people until 2 o'clock in the afternoon. So that should be fun. But yeah, I'm on like zero sleep because, you know, when there are things that need to be done in the middle of the day, that's when I sleep. So it is what it is. I did get to see most of the Met game, at least when it was played. I mean, I saw all of the Met game, but I saw most of it while it was being played live because I was waiting for a dunk tank. And the New York Mets... Look at those New York Mets, their first shutout of the year as they sweep the Nats and now are tied for a wild card position. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And we talked about how important these games were for them. I mean, they just came out and, I mean, let's just get right into it. Nimmo has just been incredible. I don't know if the snub of the All-Star game, because this has gone long before that. And we'll find out if he, I don't believe they've announced the reserves yet. We'll see if he's one of them. This goes long before that. He's just been incredible. I mean, the guy is on pace for 30 home runs and 115 or so RBIs. He's having a monster year, And it's starting to get to the point where, I mean, you want to talk about leaders on the team. And we've talked about Lindor and his calling the meeting and what he's done since moving to the leadoff position. I mean, right now, Nimmo is having just a virtuoso season. And in that, you know, the big inning where they score. And I thought Ron Darling put it perfectly. This Met team, a lot, unlike the Yankee team, this Met team, when they score runs, they've had these big innings. They have these innings that never end, whether it was an extra innings a couple times, you know, maybe a few weeks ago when they really started to get cooking with winning all these games. They put up those big extra inning numbers on back-to-back nights. And like in this game, they tend to have these massive innings that change games. Big innings change games. And they put up a 5 spot in the 5th inning. And you knew it was coming. One, I have to give McNeil credit, had a great at bat. You cannot, and Gore was going along pitching great in this game. You cannot walk McNeil. You just can't in that spot. And then walk Lindor to get to Nimmo, because Nimmo is going to beat you right now. He's been absolutely terrific. And this team right now, you know, you get another good pitching performance from Peterson, 6 innings, 0 runs. He's pitching to a 3.09 ERA. The bullpen actually had a pretty good game. But, you know, with a big lead, I'm not going to try and dismiss it. I'm still very nervous about that bullpen, and I want to add to it, and so does Nimmo. And let me just get to that now, because I have never in all my years of watching baseball and being a Yankee fan, where I think it's sort of just a fait accompli. I don't think anyone needs to say it necessarily that they want to add at the deadline. It's just that's the only thing you do at the deadline. But I can't remember a player being more outspoken about what his front office should do at the trade deadline than we have heard from Nimmo over and over again over the last couple of days. And for him to say what he's saying postgame, that we believe we're a great team, we should be looking to add at the deadline. We believe in this team. I mean, it's borderline. Like, I love it. I love it. I love the aggression. I love the trying to send a message to ownership, right? As the conversation with the Yankees right now is sort of, you know, the management and or front office sending messages to the players who need it. A player sending a message to the front office that desperately needs to be accurate. I think it probably will at this point. But for Nimmo, and it also makes me think that Nimmo and this Met team understand what's going on. And this goes back to the deadline of last year when they traded away Robertson and they gave up on the year. And I remember, hey, when they, if you remember the post game of that day when they traded away Robertson, and they were talking to Alonso, and Alonso was like, well, you know, listen, we still think blah, blah, blah. You know, we're going to get some guys maybe can help us. Like, who'd we get? Oh, it's actually, you know, a couple of single A players that won't be useful to the team in 3 or 4 years. His face was just like, oh. Well, I mean, okay. Like, he was shocked. I mean, they got the message loud and clear, this group. They got the message at the end of last year, we don't believe in you. We're going to trade away. Next year, we're probably not going to be a team people talk about as World Series contenders. We might not have the same amount of stars. We're building for 25 and 26. They got the message. And at the start of this year in spring training, we're better than you think. We're better than you think. That was the message coming from the players in spring training this year. Then obviously they get off to the miserable start, blah, 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 blah. They've turned it around. The offense is just dynamic in every way, shape, and form right now. J.D. Martinez with 3 hits yesterday. Even Alonso comes through. I know he got thrown out at second, but still, he's come through. Vientos continues to get hits and drive in runs. Bader continues to get hits and drive in runs. But this team has been desperate to convince this ownership group and convince this front office that they're worthy, that they're better than the team's been talking about, that they can compete, they believe in this group, they believe in themselves. And yeah, sure, Grimace and all that helps. And obviously, the OMG song helps. I think it has built some sort of camaraderie. I still think the concert was ridiculous, not necessarily that it was the cause of any tailspin, as brief as it might have been. I just thought it looked silly. But it's clearly impacted the group. And Brandon Nimmo, you got to love the balls on this guy. I mean, just right now, who's got it? The guy hits a game-changing double in the gap. His power surge has been ridiculous. He's out there on the front lines leading this team to victory, a sweep in these 3 games. Bragg, you know, brought the team all the way back into tied for the wild card, jumped 5 or 6 teams in a matter of weeks, not even week and a half, 2 weeks, have just jumped everybody. They were behind everybody except Miami and Colorado. This guy is leading from out front, hitting home runs 3 consecutive games, hitting doubles in the gap with 2 outs to really change the dynamic of this game against Washington, leading them to a sweep of the Nats, putting them in playoff contention, and heading into a series against Colorado where they, now you're looking to sweep these 6 games. He has this great game, and in the post game, believe in us. We should be looking to add to this group. I love it. I love everything. I love all the vibes coming from this team. I don't know how you couldn't. Am I concerned about the bullpen? Sure, I'm hoping they go out and address it. Am I concerned? You know, when you really talk about whether or not they're contenders, and yesterday I said they could beat anybody, and I believe that on some way if they do what they need to do at the deadline. Am I concerned there's no real ace at the staff as now we, you know, we're getting closer and closer to Kodai Senga returning? I wouldn't consider him an ace. I thought he pitched very well last year. He's got dynamic stuff at times. I don't know if I would call Senga an ace, but could he change my mind in the second half if he's healthy? Maybe. I'm open to it. So to me, the two things when you want to look at competing against the Dodgers, competing against the Braves, and competing against obviously Philadelphia, if you want to get into a series, if you want to win a playoff series, the things that concern me as we sit here today are really only twofold. One, they don't have an ace, real shutdown pitcher at the top of the rotation. And two, the bullpen is kind of in shambles still. I still don't trust it. Yeah, Nunez has been very good. You know, Diaz, you're hoping, is going to get his feet underneath him. Who knows what Maton's going to be? He came in and had a clean inning in this game. You know, I still don't trust that Avino. He loaded the bases yesterday afternoon. And ultimately, they're going to need some pieces in the bullpen, without question. But once you get past that, not only is this lineup clicking, not only is the team chemistry unbelievable, but They are coming through in almost every big spot. They are beating the teams they should be beating. And they have real leaders who have stepped up and done it vocally. Right? We always hear lead from example and lead on the field. And typically that's usually enough. And we'll see how this has impacted them. But Lindor had the meeting, spoke about the meeting, spoke about, you know, pretty much that he was concerned guys weren't working hard enough. We heard that from Tommy Pham last year. Guys weren't working hard enough. He came out and was vocal. And now, from the perspective of the player, Brandon Nimmo speaking for the group, speaking directly to Stearns publicly in post games. I'm going to go out there and rip doubles, win games, and then I'm going to get on the microphone and tell my GM what he should do. I mean, I have never heard that before. Never at this level. Like, hey, do you think this group, like, have I heard, hey, do you think that you guys deserve, you know, adding to this group? Do you expect your, yeah, I mean, I think I would like it, or, you know, whatever. I don't know. We've heard people answer that question. But with the kind of veracity and just, it sounds like pointed. Like, and the other day, it was like, yeah, I tell him every chance I get, we got to add to this team, we got to add to this team. Post game on the field, celebrating a victory that he's the main reason for, we need to add. We believe this is a special group, and we believe we are very close to being a real contender. Do you hear me, David Stearns? Do you hear me? Think about where he's come from. From the little engine that could, who was known for running to first base on walks and being a subpar center fielder, to a flat-out leader of the team, on pace for 30 home runs and 115 RBIs, speaking for the team and its players directly through the media to the GM, saying, do your job. I mean, remarkable. Absolutely remarkable. I love Brandon Nimmo. Love him. I love everything about him. He's turned himself into one hell of a corner outfielder. He's added pop to his game. He's added driving in runs to his game. I don't know if he's necessarily been spurred by this all-star thing. And let me get to that. You know, we'll take a couple calls here, and then I'll get to the other story about Pete Alonso, which I have gotten on Pete a little bit, and I've had some fun with Pete. And I think as much as I enjoy and think that and love the mindset of wanting to be a part of the Home Run Derby and, you know, taking that responsibility and being there for his fan base or whatever and wanting to be someone who does it and giving money to charity and all that, I appreciate it. I think he handles it once he's there a little ridiculous. But some of the stuff I've heard about Pete Alonso and what he's done for his teammates, I think is absolute nonsense. We'll get to that. 888-808-1019. But this Met team on fire. They've swept the Nationals. They are now tied for a wild card position with San Diego, who they own the tiebreaker on. They just got done winning 7-0. Brandon Nimmo driving in big runs, hitting doubles in the gap, taking on management. And everything is coming up roses for this Met team. It's just unbelievable what they continue to do. And right now, I mean, what's stopping them? They got a 3-game set against Colorado. Now, look, you can't stub your toe against the Rockies now. You just can't. That's the one thing. The only thing about these 3 games is you don't have to win all 3, but you can't lose the series. You can't. You can't go into the All-Star break stubbing your toe on the Rockies as your final thing after sweeping the Nationals and looking to make a real statement here and stay in a playoff position. But honestly, there's no choice. You got to add. Listen to him. Listen to him, David. So we'll also get to Alonso, as I said, and some of the stuff around him in the Home Run Derby and the All-Star game. And then, of course, the reports of whether or not the Mets would be interested in moving on from Pete Alonso, which is almost as dumb as the Home Run Derby stuff. 888-808-1019. Let's get a couple phone calls in. Josh in Rockland. What's up, Josh?
Yeah, what's going on, Chris? Great show as usual.
Thank you, buddy. What's up?
Yeah, I think I got a pretty good idea for the Yankees. Listen, do you think the Mariners will be interested in Gleyber Torres or Verdugo in like a 3-way trade with the Rockies or the Angels for like Ryan McMahon and Luis Renifo?
All right, one more time. You want a 3-way trade for Renifo and McMahon, and what do you want to do?
I give up either Torres. Florida, sure. Verdugo, something like that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I think that's a good idea. If you can give up Torres and Verdugo, who are both free agents, who would these teams would have to pay,
and if have you, Dominguez.
Oh, and add add Dominguez to the trade?
No, have Dominguez play left field.
Oh, have Dominguez play left field? Sure. Okay, so you get McMahon to play third base. Well, where does Rengifo play then? Because he's the third baseman.
McMahon will be at second.
Okay, so you get two big time trade chips, and whatever we think of Rengifo, I don't think we put him in the same.
You give up more prospects where whoever it is, Brian Cashman will figure that out.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, because right now the idea of trading Torres and Verdugo for these players is borderline ridiculous. Well, Angels.
Not just them,
they don't want them though. They don't want them at all. They don't want them included. It's not helping.
The Mariners want anyone now.
What?
The Mariners have the worst batting average in baseball. They want anyone now.
I'm confused. You want to trade Gleyber Torres to the Mariners?
Again, yeah. I want to do a three-way trade. Call the Mariners, say, do you want Torres or Verdugo?
Okay.
And have them send prospects.
Okay. All right, now I'm sorry. I missed the Mariners part. At least now that makes a little bit of sense. Because you're right, the Mariners are looking for offense. It depends on what they're willing to give up, but they could just make the trade for McMahon or Rengifo as opposed to try and get Gleyber Torres, who's not having a very good year. That's why Rengifo's name wasn't brought up prior to this year, because now he's having the good year. And we'll see when he gets back from from his injury. I think it's expected to be relatively shortly. Look, you can't... if you want to move Gleyber, you don't need a three-way trade. You know, if you want to move Gleyber Torres, then move him. And you're right, maybe the Mariners would take him, but they're not giving you anything that helps this team. If you want to get rid of Gleyber Torres, you can get back C-level prospects from the Mariners. Sure, that's plausible. Do you want to do that? Do you want to trade Gleyber Torres, who very well might have a bounce-back second half, who hit 25 home runs and had an 800 OPS last year and was their best hitter at 27 years old? He very well may have, who's already right now hitting 300 over the last 7 or 8 games. If you want to trade him just to get rid of him, you can trade him somewhere, maybe like the Mariners, for C-level prospects. If you want to do that, it's plausible. I don't know why you'd want to do it. If you want to trade Verdugo for the same thing, C-level type prospects, on a guy who's going to get paid next year, on a guy who they're not going to keep, it's a rental, you can get C-level prospects for Verdugo, who has an OPS under 700 right now. You're not going to swing 3-team trades. Then you would have to go out and replace those players. It sounds like Colorado is telling everybody that McMahon's going nowhere. And, Rengifo, I'm sure, is plausible to get, but I think, a lot of teams are looking for him. You got to see what happens here. But the trading Gleyber Torres away and Verdugo away, I don't want to trade Verdugo away. I want Verdugo to get hot. I want Verdugo to be the player he was in the first 2 months of the season that helped the Yankees win, who, when he was moved to cleanup spot, changed the lineup. That's what I want. I don't want to get rid of him. He's got to get hot. Peter in Manhattan. What's up, Pete?
How you doing, Chris? Great show. Chris, I'm going to make a few comments, and then you can please comment on that. Your expertise. You can provide your expertise. I'm going to go back to Boone. I'm reading, I'm hearing, get him fired. Chris, here's my point. What's a manager worth? Best manager, worst manager, maybe 2 games a year. Even with that,
the old number is usually around 5 or 6.
You think it's that much with analytics? Yeah. Joe Torre, I'll give it to you. Joe Torre had the record for the most games without making a World Series.
Yeah.
After the Yankees, he wins 5 World Series.
Exactly.
Casey Stengel, possibly the best manager, was 40 games for the Mets. So now with analytics, every team is the same. So that's a comment. The other thing is, it's really tough to win the World Series now. You have so many layers. Look at the Dodgers.
100%.
The Dodgers have had the best team. They're the best team every year. They never make it.
100%.
So these are my thoughts. And then even if you get rid of But Boone, who are you going to get?
No.
Anyway, Chris, thank you. Yeah, thank you so much.
You
and
got
I'll
it.
See you tomorrow.
Yeah, you got it, Peter. And look, I mean, 100%. Everyone gets all upset. Like, people say, this is the longest stretch that the Yankees haven't been to the World Series in their history. This is the longest stretch that they haven't, you know. And, yeah, I mean, it's been a long stretch. But, again, it, you know, prior to the mid-1970s, if you had the best record in the American League, you went to the World Series. That was it. That was it. So in the 40s, 50s, now they had great teams that went every year, but you don't think you think the Yankees would have this many championships if Joe DiMaggio had to play wild card series? If he had to play a wild card series, if he had to play, now they would have made the playoffs maybe. They would have made the playoffs in years they didn't go to the World Series and had an opportunity to win some, but do you think they would have won as many championships if they had to get through a wild card round, an ALDS, an ALCS? No. They would have got tripped up somewhere along the line. And the idea, not every year, I'm just saying, like, it's harder. It's harder now. It's more of a crapshoot. You can be a lesser team and get through, but it's harder for the best teams. You used to have just a, and then even like in the 70s when, you know, it was a quick ALCS, boom, onto the World Series. It's completely different now. Totally agree. So the idea, oh, it's the longest stretch in Yankee history. Yeah, all that, you know, the Yankees would have been to the World Series a couple times if it was just best record. Brian Cashman would have been in more World Series if it was just best record. It's not. And the Dodgers would be in the World Series every year. And then as far as, you know, managers and management, yeah, I mean, I think it's all, you know, same thing. Who's the greatest basketball head coach of all time? Phil Jackson. Well, sure he is. He had Michael Jordan, and then he had Kobe and Shaq. Greatest of all time. Bill Belichick, greatest head coach of all time. He had Tom Brady. Like, you don't, you know, no one calls a coach who just, you know, managed to get a floundering team to the playoffs the best coach of all time. Was Joe Torre a bad manager when he was with the Braves? When he was with the Mets? Right? When he was with St. Louis, was he a bad manager and finally figured it out with the Yankees, or did he have a great group? This is about the players, man. I don't think Boone is holding them back. I mean, it falls at the manager's feet for winning. But there's nothing he's doing publicly that would feel any different. And again, I want to get that. I'll talk to Fleegs during the break. It's out on WFAN Twitter, Mike. Brett Boone's answer with the midday show. I thought it was excellent. Mike in Westchester. What's up, Mike?
Hello, yeah. Hey, how's it going?
Hey, good. How are you, Mike? Hello, how are you?
All right, not bad.
All right, good.
I wanted to ask about the Mets and the trade deadline.
Yes,
we're pretty pumped up over here.
Should be.
Just talking to the office, everyone. We couldn't believe we were here. To be honest with you, and I was wondering if you thought that would you trade Severino right now for a high string reliever right now?
No, I would not trade. Anyone who's helping me win, no, I would not. I think the idea of buying and selling at the same time is ridiculous. And I don't know, like you say, you want to trade Severino for a reliever, right? Severino is on a one-year contract. So whoever you trade him to has him for the rest of the season, and then if they want to continue having him, they have to pay him. So what team would be willing to trade away a good reliever to bring in Severino? Now you're talking about a very fine group. You're talking about a team that believes they can win, has a surplus in bullpen, and needs a starting pitcher. You have to thread that needle, because a losing team with a good reliever like a Mason Miller, right, or Crochet with Chicago, what the hell would they want with Severino? They have no interest in Severino. The only person who's interested in Severino is a winning club. So now you have to find a team that believes they can win, believes that they have enough relief pitching to get rid of it, and desperately need a starter. I don't know how you do that. You know
understood.
What I'm saying?
Yeah, no, understood. The other thing I wanted to comment on was what the comment you made before is that I was thinking of a coach that didn't have good players. I thought of Scotty Bowman, but he actually had Mario Lemieux, all the Canadians, and you're exactly right on that.
Well,
that
I mean, listen,
the
no
players do make the coach.
Of course. I mean, on some level, and that's not to say Phil Jackson isn't a good coach, or Popovich isn't a good coach, or Belichick isn't a good coach, or Joe Torre wasn't a great coach. Of course they were. I'm just saying you need the players, obviously. And there have been great coaching jobs for a season or whatever would that have done more with less. Or who, you know, took a group nobody expected to a level that nobody expected. That happens, of course. But the greatest of all time win championships. You don't win championships without players. I mean, and just the idea of, you know, if Boone criticized them publicly, this would, like, I really would love to, like, I'd love you to call me 888-808-1019, like, and explain to me why you're so upset, because it's all over Twitter, like a bunch of different people, why you're so upset. And even, you know, on the post game, Jeff Nelson went against what Aaron Boone said. Aaron Boone said, well, listen, you know, I thought Nestor had some pretty good stuff. He got some swings and miss on his fastball. You know, he couldn't locate a pitch or two. And then Nelson in the postgame said, good stuff. I don't know how you could say he has good stuff when he gave up 5 runs in 4 innings and threw 97 pitches. Now, who's more right? Who's more right? Jeff Nelson is more right. We all know that. We all know that it's tough to say he had good stuff when he couldn't locate and he threw 97 pitches and gave up 5 runs in 4 innings. We get that. We all know that. If Aaron Boone said what Jeff Nelson said, what changes? What changes? Now, what changes being positive? I don't know. I get it. But I just don't know why we're hand-wringing and why we're so upset at Boone. Because he would say something like, look, I thought Nestor had a good fastball, which, by the way, he did. He was throwing 95, 96. I thought he had a good fastball, too. But besides that, he did not pitch well. He could not locate. And he got hit around the ballpark. But if Boone goes out there and says, yeah, he stunk today. He couldn't locate his cutter. He couldn't locate this. He was absolutely scuffling. And honestly, it's a real problem. He can't pitch on the road. What happens other than you go, finally, he said it. What happens? Does Nestor get better on the road? Do you think Nestor doesn't care about pitching on the road until he's criticized for it? Like, I don't get it. I don't get the anger towards it. If Boone's going to get fired, it's because Nestor didn't pitch well, not because he didn't say he didn't pitch well in the postgame. That's what I'm saying. I'm not saying the manager is never accountable. He's based on wins and losses. And if they lose this year, and God forbid they don't make the playoffs or they lose in the first round, then Boone shouldn't be back. But it's because of how they played on the field, not because he didn't tell us what the way we perceived how they played on the field. It's just dumb to me. 888-808-1019, 888-808-1019. Another story that's dumb to me is Pete Alonso, unfair to his teammates. We'll get to it.
Add WFAN to your contacts to talk New York sports with us at 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus.
All right, 3:40. McMonagle here with you on the Fan. Bow. This song always reminds me of Craig. He liked My Pony, and he. There was also a song. I forget the name of the band now, but there's a song called "Cumbersome." I don't know if you guys were fans of the Carton and Robert show, but he would every once in a while he would make me play that song, or if I felt like he was in a bad mood or the show just needed Craig to have a pick-me-up, I would play that song, Cumbersome. I forget the name of the band. I got to look it up. But speaking about Craig, congratulations, obviously, in the New York Broadcasters Hall of Fame. Obviously, well-deserved. So great to see that for him. Deserved it. It's been a year now. As I said, yesterday was my anniversary for doing the show. That means it's been over a year since the Carton and Roberts show ended. Fun times. I still need to do an FSU Friday every once in a while just to maybe get some anger out. That was a lot of fun. Those FSU videos, and I would just beat the hell out of things. I would take an axe or a sledgehammer and just beat up a chair or a a cabinet or something that we were throwing out. I remember they were playing the Astros. I smashed a trash can. That was fun, just to take out aggression and just like hit things with sledgehammers and break them. I missed that. But I'll be back in the afternoon later today. So that'll be fun. I'll get to get home at 8:30, relax, just kiss the kids goodnight, and then have a Friday night martini, watch the Yankees take down the Baltimore Orioles. That's right. That's what's going to happen. That's exactly what's going to happen. Cole is going to throw 7 shutout innings. The Yankees will win 42-0. Mark my words. You heard it here first. 888-808-1019. Let's get to a couple things around Pete Alonso for a second. Just a couple things around Pete Alonso for a second. One, me and Fleeks were just talking about trades in the intermission there, the break. I'm not trading Severino. I am not trading anyone who I believe can help me. I don't see the value in it. I don't think in today's modern day, the need for the Mets is bullpen, along with everybody else. I do not believe there is a contender out there who would be willing to take on Quintana or Severino or even Pete Alonso, for that matter, and would be willing to trade away relief pitching. This, I mean, that's the name of the game in this 2024 version of Major League Baseball is relief pitching. You know, we just had, Skeens taken out in the 7th inning of throwing a no-hitter. Guys go 4, 5, 6 innings on a routine basis. You need relievers. No one is going to buy. Like, if they needed something else, maybe I could see it. If the Mets were in desperate need of a bat and had depth at the starting rotation, maybe I could see it. But you are not going to get reliever help for, I just don't see it. I just don't see it. If you want to trade like Christian Scott or somebody with, Recco just texted me, 7 Mary 3 was the name of the band for Cumbersome. Yes, 7, that rings a bell now. If you wanted to trade someone with like long-term value, a young prospect, and you could get relief help from a losing team, okay, if you felt that, if you were that determined on getting it, like that's, it's not going to be a one-year deal. You're not going to get rid of Quintana or Severino for it, and nor would you trade Pete Alonso. And for some reason, that conversation, I would have thought the way the Mets have played here, you got Nimmo begging publicly to add, and yet Pete Alonso is still a discussion. Now, I know there's like conflicting reports with this, I guess, Bowden report where he opened it with, I don't think the Mets are, you know, on the trade market anymore considering how they played, but they've had conversations with the Astros. Let me tell you something right now. I said the other day, and I firmly believe this as of right now, I think you could probably point to 7 offensive players who have been more important to this Met run than Pete Alonso. He's done, I don't want to say virtually nothing, but Pete Alonso, in the scheme of things, when you think back to all the big plays, all the big hits, all the big games that have turned this season around to the point they're back in it and are a playoff team as we sit here today, I mean, I can think of a million Nimmo. I can think of a million Lindor. I can think of a bunch, especially early on, from J.D. Martinez. I can think of a bunch of home runs from Vientos. I can think of a bunch of big hits from Bader. I mean, the list goes on. Alvarez, clearly, his importance of coming back. I mean, the record with him, without him, we all know it. Pete Alonso is so far down the list of the most important cogs on this team currently that it's almost stupefying. And honestly, I don't know if it can continue. He's got to be more of a big part of this thing moving forward. But having said that, I can't trade him. It's Pete Alonso. He hits 40 home runs a year. He's bound to hit 20 home runs in the second half here. He might be your most important player moving down the stretch. I can't say, oh, I have Beatty in the minor leagues to come up and take his place. I'm trying to win. I'm with Nimmo. Add. Let's go get this thing. Let's go. They're the hottest team in baseball practically. I'm not that discussion needs to go away. It needs to go the way of the dodo. It should be extinct. There is no trading Pete Alonso. Not to the Astros, not to anyone. You're not trading Pete. I don't care what you think you can get back. It doesn't matter. Give him the qualifying offer. If he leaves, you get 2 picks.
do anything else. This team needs every opportunity, and you can't tell me, you know, buying and selling or pulling this, you know, day trader nonsense you think that Stearns is going to be able to do and get rid of Pete and make the team better. It's too complicated. Is there a scenario where it's possible? Of course. I mean, I guess anything's possible. Could they trade away Pete Alonso and still be just as good offensively or take a slight dip offensively, which wouldn't be a problem considering how good they've been, and improve themselves elsewhere? Sure. I mean, theoretically, yes, anything is possible. But I'm not taking that chance. I need everybody I can get. I'm not trading Pete Alonso. That's the end of it. I'm done with it. Let's just make that clear because that report keeps coming out. And I thought when the season was going the way it was going that we were going to spend endless, countless overnight shows just based on whether or not you trade Pete Alonso. The Mets have ended that discussion for us. Thank you, Mets. I had segments planned. That was quite the. That was going to be quite the time filler, you bums. But they've ruined it. They've ruined it. It's over. It's dead. Now to the other Pete Alonso story that drives me absolutely nuts. When Pete Alonso got named to the All-Star team, my initial thought was, smells like they want somebody in the home run derby. Because I remember Pete saying, I don't think I would do the home run derby without being in the game. Now, when he said it, Fleegs, you with me for a minute? Do you remember it as some sort of big stance ultimatum message to Major League Baseball? Did I miss something, or was it just kind of like, hey, you're going to do the All-Star game? Well, the home run derby. Well, if I'm an All-Star, I would do it. Otherwise, I don't know.
It seemed to me more like, well, if I'm an All-Star, I'll do it because I'm there. If not, right. I'll take the 4 or 5 day break.
Right.
It would be silly to show up to do the derby if I'm not an All-Star.
That's how I took it. And now when he first became an All-Star, when he was first announced as an All-Star, I thought maybe Major League Baseball took that into account. But by no means did Pete Alonso put out some sort of decree or ultimatum to Major League Baseball. What happened was because of injuries and because, to be fair, guys like Judge and Soto, Otani, different guys don't want to do the home run derby. Guys run away from it. It's similar to the slam dunk contest, not in the same where, I mean, you have nobodies in the slam dunk contest. Forget Pete Alonso doesn't want to do the home run derby if he's not an All-Star. We got guys who aren't in the NBA doing slam dunk contests. So, I mean, it's just ridiculous. So it's not quite on that level, but guys are running away from it. Nobody wants to do it. I get it. They want Pete Alonso in it. He's a name. Hell, he provides them with so much content during the home run derby. It writes itself. Who knows what he'll do next? He might just jump out of uniform and do, you know, swim laps or something. I don't know. Who knows? You know, they're in Arlington this year. He might have a whole feature at the Grassy Knoll. Who knows what he would do to make a spectacle of himself for the Home Run Derby? So I get that they want him there. But the idea that that phrase and his inclination to only do the Home Run Derby if he's an All-Star somehow is like something where Sal is talking about the way he handled it, the answers he gave when talking about Lindor and Nimmo not making the All-Star game, or now you've got Ken Rosenthal saying it hurt the candidacy of Lindor and Nimmo. I think that is absolute nonsense. Lindor's having a great year. He plays shortstop. Nimmo's an outfielder. They're having great years. They could have found a way to put those guys on the team. The idea that Pete has hurt them by this decree that he wouldn't have been an All-Star if he hadn't have made that statement, and now somehow those guys would have been in the All-Star game as opposed to Pete Alonso, it just bothers me because it's not flat out calling out Pete Alonso for being selfish, but it indicates that somehow his home run derby and the value of it has overshadowed his teammates becoming All-Stars. And I think that's completely unfair. And I kill him, or I shouldn't say kill him. I make fun of him. I have a laugh at his expense at what I deem to be a ridiculous show he puts on at the Home Run Derby. But it is quite another thing to insinuate that he is being selfish and has somehow cost his teammates All-Star appearances. And if Major League Baseball did that, that's on them and not Pete.
And I don't know if Ken Rosenthal is necessarily saying Pete did this and so therefore this and Pete's the reason and Pete knew it. I understand Pete's not necessarily getting blamed, but just the overall conversation is just dumb to me. Pete Alonso made an offhand comment about, if I'm not an all-star, do I really want to go there and do the home run derby? It feels forced, which I'm surprised that bothers him. With the way he treats the home run derby, I'm surprised the idea that it might be forced bothers him. But at the same time, I'm not going to give him grief because of, if I'm in, I'm in. If I'm out, I'm out. I think that's a reasonable take. And so, I don't think you should get any blame for anybody not being an all-star. Or I don't think it's his responsibility to, should he be, are Lindor and Nimmo like Rudy? Should Pete go into the office of Major League Baseball and throw his All-Star jersey, as ugly as it may be, on the desk of the commissioner and say, put Lindor in there? Yeah, I think there's some Rosenthal audio that he did on the Foul Territory podcast where he's discussing the story. Let's see if we can hear it.
But you put out an article today saying Pete screwed two of his teammates because here's what I don't understand. Did he demand to say, I'll be in the home run derby, but only if you put me in the All-Star game? And then MLB folded and said, okay, Pete, we'll put you in the All-Star game. And then how did it screw two of his teammates? Because MLB should want Mets in the game because that's a bigger audience.
I don't believe the word screwed was anywhere near the article, but okay, AJ, if you want to read it that way. If people have different reading comprehension skills in our country, that's fair.
Short change, Ken.
Well, here's what happened. And what Pete said was, he doesn't want to be in the derby unless he's in the game. Now, at the time he said that, and this is in the article, I don't believe he had any idea or any thought in his head that that might have implications for two of his teammates, Francisco Lindor and Brandon Nimmo, but it did, because Alonso turns out to be the Mets' only representative on the All-Star team. And why is he on the All-Star team? He's not the most deserving Met. Nimmo is more deserving. Lindor is more deserving. He's on the All-Star team, in my opinion, because MLB wants him in the Derby, because the Derby field has been thinned out this year due to injuries.
I get it.
All right, so
that audio clears it up a little bit. He's not necessarily blaming Pete or thinking that Pete went out of his way.
He does go on to even say, there's a lot of reasons, this is how, right or wrong, the All-Star team is developed. And he pointed out, when the fan and player balloting started, Lindor and Nimmo were not off to the hottest start. So ultimately, it probably played out this way that Pete took the spot because MLB wanted him in the Derby.
Mm-hmm.
But I listened to the whole thing. At no point does Ken Rosenthal
suggest.
It seems like people took his article, and that's why I think he seems annoyed with AJ.
No, Krasinski. Good, yeah, because that's what I had heard. So I'm glad, because he didn't say that. And if that's the ramifications, that's like dumb. Major League Baseball should not base their decision making on whether or not Pete Alonso is going to be. And the idea that he's the only Met it's not like they're taking, you have to take one. It's not like you're limited to one. And if that's the case, then it really only cost one Met player the All-Star game because they clearly didn't put in two. So just the idea of that whole story, and I'm glad I played that audio because at least Ken Rosenthal's take on it is not nearly as damning to Pete as I thought it was. So,
and he does have kind of he does imply, get mad at baseball if you think the two of them should have been All-Stars.
Yeah.
This isn't Pete Alonso's fault.
Right.
When he made the comment a week before, he didn't know.
And maybe I'm conflating because I heard Sal this morning talking about the comments he made about Lindor and Nimmo not being All-Stars, and he expected more from Pete. So maybe I was conflating both stories in my mind. But all right, so if it's Major League Baseball, it's dumb. And if anybody is blaming Pete or anybody has that misconception, I don't know what Pete Alonso's supposed to do. He obviously loves the Home Run Derby and was asked if he would do it and said, if they make me an All-Star, if I'm an All-Star, I'll do it. If not, I probably won't. And if that ended up costing his teammates becoming an All-Star, that's on Major League Baseball. And I think it's dumb. Because honestly, you need Pete Alonso in the Home Run Derby. You need him on the Home Run Derby. I understand. He's not as much as we all like Pete, and I know it's the New York market, I don't think he is a national big-time face of baseball in any way. And that's not to knock Pete. I just don't think he is. I know he's won the Home Run Derby twice, right? But is he someone who brings viewers outside of New York and even inside New York? If you're going to watch the Home Run Derby, how many Met fans are turned off if Pete Alonso's not in? I don't know. I mean, it's a decision they clearly made. But I still don't know if that... You would have to convince me that putting Alonso in the home in the All-Star game is what cost Nimmo and Lindor being in the game. Like,
well, it has to have cost one of them, no?
Right. Well,
because it's not if Pete got off to a great start while the other two were slumping.
Right.
You can say, okay, they kind of based this off April and May,
right,
not May and June. But Pete's been this all year so
long.
It probably cost one of them the spot.
Right.
But like you said, clearly not both of them, because if it was one and not the other would be going.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I guess. I when I first heard it, the whole premise sounded ridiculous to me. But, I mean, we all know Pete's an undeserving All-Star. That's just the fact of the matter. And he's got two players on his team, and particularly Nimmo right now, and obviously Lindor, who deserve to be over him. But... I mean, it's more Major League Baseball than anything else. And I guess, you know, Pete, he has become a big story when it comes to that Home Run Derby. Whether it's him pumping iron, whether it's him meditating, whether it's, you know, whatever's going on, whether it's the big chains, whatever's going on with Pete Alonso in that Home Run Derby, we need it. Can't
live
without
it. The Derby's on ESPN. Let's just blame them.
Let's blame ESPN. I'm open to it. 357, McMonagle here with you. 888-808-1019, 888-808-1019. 2 hours down, one more to go. Gotcha for that one more hour until the warm-up show. We'll continue to take your phone calls. We'll get into the Met trade situation. Obviously, we continue to talk about Nimmo's hot hitting and his outspokenness, which just shocks me. And then, of course, we'll get back into the disaster that was yesterday for the New York Yankees. But the optimism and the positivity that I'm trying to bring as they head into the biggest series of the year against Baltimore, who, by the way, just got swept by the Cubs. And what does every single Yankee fan mean? Oh, that means they're due. It means, oh, I wish they wouldn't have got swept by the Cubs. Now they're destined to, you know, kick our ass. Instead of saying, hey, we're catching Baltimore while they're struggling too. And the Yankees lost the series to Tampa Bay, and they picked up a game in the standings. Quit walking around like a bunch of losers.